All right, guys. So this is a milestone I've been excited for a long time. The Slump Buster has finally reached episode 69. Hoove on three. I want to get a break to just simply put, nice. 3, 2, 1.
Slump Buster. Quiet on the set, make sure my mic is on. There is Dre and Juju Dog diving towards the pylon. Go for two, so damn rude, recognize authority. Spitting tips for fantasy, no way you're outscoring me. Bold predictions with conviction every single day. Sports addiction, no restriction, kicking game like Pele. He's the greatest, what's the basis? Pick an athlete, let's debate this game. Outrageous trading places, sudden death, take 10 paces. Turn and shoot, poise the truth, Mamba mentality. Future greats take their place, dreams become reality. Blowing outside, knocked it out the park. Your boy discovered fire like a rock with a spark. Reps acting like Neanderthals. Phantom flags, nothing calls. Heartbreak losses, tragic falls. Every week discuss it all. Settle in, listen up. Free your time like Andrew Luck. Show's about to start. I suggest you buckle up.
Nice. All right, guys. Juju Talk Sports here. I am joined today by Hoove from HooveTube. Welcome into the Slump Buster.
Did you really bring me on for episode 69?
Sometimes you just get the lucky draw, man.
That's all right. I'm a lucky guy. I just predicted the Miami Heat to upset the Milwaukee Bucks all the way back in February. Joe Burrow going number one before Tua. You guys can check all that out on it's HooveTube on YouTube.
You got to show the receipts first, man.
What's up?
You got to save those receipts. You got to put them out there.
They're always out there.
Okay, fair enough.
They're on my sleeve like a tattoo, baby.
Okay, so how many views, how many subscriptions would it take to get you to put down your next bold prediction on a legitimate tattoo?
Get me to 1,000. We'll do live subscribe. We'll go live. 1,000.
Okay. Well, you know, it's up to you, not only Slump Buster audience, but your own audience to hold you accountable for that claim.
I feel like they do. They hold me very, very accountable. Every time that I'm wrong, they come for my throat. But most of the time, I'm not wrong. So my throat is pretty pretty good. So
sometimes you just got to pay it forward. So, of course, thank you for bringing me back on your show a couple weeks ago. So naturally, had to bring you back onto ours. As you can tell, there is no bias in this one, even though he has a ton of 49ers content in the back. I promise you, Slump Busters, all of you, no bias at all in this decision to bring on this guest. Even though we're going to be talking week one of the NFL season, which obviously I'm excited about. When you really break it down and just say, like, what's nice? Besides this episode being episode 69, football's back. That's pretty nice in my book.
Yes, sir, baby. Let's go.
Exactly. So we're going to go through three topics here. So let's start off there. So you briefly mentioned it. Of course, the Heat managed to put away the Bucks in five. Let's focus here. Giannis. Will he be a Milwaukee Buck next season?
Now, if you just checked out my last video on It's HooveTube, I put out a prediction in my hammer. My hammer is 90% accurate. Like I said, all those predictions earlier, I put them in my hammer and they came true. One that's kind of brewing right now is AB to Seattle. I said that before Russell Wilson was saying that he was interested, but that's for another day. All right. Right now, I put in my hammer that Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to leave the Milwaukee Bucks after the Dallas Mavericks send Kristaps Porzingis to the Phoenix Suns, creating a dynamic duo of their own down there. But Giannis and Luka will be there, and so it'll create some kind of Magic Kareem dynamic down there, and it'll shut Richard Jefferson up against that Pippen-Jordan debate, because it'll be a different dynamic duo instead of Pippen-Jordan.
Now, I would say, schematically, that would be a perfect fit. For him and Luka to be together, I think that's the exact outside shooter that, of course, you know, Giannis would love. Someone who creates points, scoring opportunities like Luka would be perfect for a man of Giannis' skill set.
Mark Cuban loves those foreign players, baby.
True. And that's probably the biggest thing, too, I was going to mention, too, because obviously he came out with that statement a couple years ago of how he thinks that the European game is so far ahead of where the American college game is. Really is. Then you notice obviously the Luka drafting, trading for Porzingis. So if Antetokounmpo is on the open market, then that's a logical fit right there.
It is.
Now, other teams that have been brought up in this debate, of course, are the Golden State Warriors, who are always looming in the wings. And then, of course, the Miami Heat, who just knocked out those Bucks. Now, if that happened, the blowback that Kevin Durant faced a couple years ago wouldn't nearly be as bad in my mind, given that.
No, yeah, I kind of agree. It'll be similar, but not exactly the same. I mean, you're joining a 73-win team versus a fifth seed that – when was the last time the fifth seed's been in the Eastern Conference Finals? I think it's like 1998, I believe. So it was like a long, long time ago. So yeah. I think it would be very similar that he got beat by that team. He joins that team, does that kind of snake shit. But no, I don't think so. I don't see him going to the Warriors. I don't see it'll happen anyways.
A fun one I liked, and this is probably the darkest of dark horses, is the Trailblazers. Him and Dame, I think, would be a fantastic combo in the same way we talked about Luka and Giannis.
What happens with CJ?
Well, I think CJ would still have a role on that team. He probably wouldn't be considered a max player anymore. But, hey, we've seen teams, obviously, again, going back to the Warriors, if you can get talent, you find ways to make talent fit on your roster. CJ, Giannis, and Dame complement each other well. I don't think there's a problem with, who gets the ball well? Damon Giannis would obviously be the top two guys. I don't think being a third wheel
is
a bad role for CJ at all.
You still got Nurkic there. That would be something. Nurkic, Giannis, Dame, CJ. But I feel like CJ will have to be out, especially with the money he's getting paid. That's going to be Giannis's money. So CJ's got to go.
Yeah, so you'd have to cut some of the bottom end guys. You're going to cut into your depth, which is a thing that you would say that the Trailblazers probably like. But you know, probably just wouldn't re-sign someone like a Melo or something like that. You'd make it fit. If the Trailblazers had an opportunity to steal Giannis away, they know what they're doing. They would make every effort to. It's going to be fun. This will probably won't be one of the biggest free agent moves. I know we had Kevin Durant out there, but Kevin Durant being out there was kind of a weird situation, knowing that he would miss a year given the Achilles injury. This one would be a player in their prime coming off potentially back-to-back MVP seasons. We're still, of course, waiting on the results of what may happen here. Of course, we're going to talk NFL awards. Do you think that the NBA media is going to go with LeBron or Giannis tonight? What do you think?
That's
and how tough. Awkward will that MVP crowning be if it is Giannis?
Ooh, I want to watch that live if it is, but Kuzma said, if Kuzma said it, it's going to happen. So Kuzma said they better not mess it up like they messed up defensive players. So.
Yeah,
I'm going with LeBron tonight, honestly. Yeah. Let's go with LeBron, baby. King James, put that crown on it.
You can make an argument that a player like LeBron is the MVP every year. Just being frank about it, it's kind of a unique situation with these awards sometimes when you do reach a certain level of greatness that you stop winning these awards.
Absolutely.
I mean, Bill Belichick, coach of the year every single year until he retires, if you really think about it. Shifting away from basketball, though, I think it's time that we make some bold predictions on this show. I think it's time that we
let's do it.
Our NFL award winners. Let's start from the bottom in terms of, you know, the lesser awards. Stuff like comeback player of the year. Who were you feeling on this award? I think it's an obvious choice dependent on if he just takes a single snap in this NFL season.
I think it's easy. It's going to be Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why? Because he has James Conner. He has Juju Smith-Schuster. He has a legit defense. This team would have been in the playoffs if they were in the current playoff format that they are in now, okay? Ben Roethlisberger joining that team that had a third stringer, a Ducky Hodges. No, they are 100% going to be a playoff team, and Ben Roethlisberger is going to be the comeback player of the year.
I have to debate you on that one a little bit because, again, if this guy takes a single snap this year, it will hands down be quarterback of the Washington football team, Alex Smith. After that E60, after seeing the grotesque images that were released during that, I think public opinion will definitely be on Smith's side. And just the road to recovery, not too many players would even consider coming back at all to play football. And certainly not with Dwayne Haskins named the starter for week one, not as a backup role. But here's the thing, if I'm being honest, and maybe I am pretty harsh on Haskins. I didn't see a lot that I liked last year whenever I was watching the Washington football team. But I think hands down, with an old school coach like Ron Rivera, he's going to want to go with the best quarterback or the quarterback that is more consistent, makes less mistakes, is more conservative with the football, and that's easily going to be Alex Smith. He may not be as mobile, he may not be as dynamic as he once was, but as a decision maker, I think he's going to have Dwayne Haskins beat, and I think at one point we see Alex Smith take over that starting role.
If that happens, you are 100% right. I can't debate you on that, because Alex Smith has a special spot in my heart, because I became a 49ers fan when Alex Smith was the quarterback back in 2007. So I got to show respect. Yeah, you're right. If Alex Smith touches the grass, you're right, 100%. No debate.
Okay, well, let's go with on this next one. Let's focus with this rookie class. Let's start on the side of the ball that doesn't get enough attention. Defense. Our defensive rookie of the year, I should clarify. Now, who is this going to be? I think, and crazy enough to say this, it might be my second person from that said Washington football team. It's got to be Chase Young, right? If this guy gets 9, maybe touches double-digit sacks, then it's going to be hard to refute. Pass rushers, edge rushers always have the edge when it comes to winning this award. I would love to go with someone like Jeff Okuda, but unless he has 5 interceptions, multiple pick sixes, the clamps like Revis Island, I doubt that he would get much consideration. Now, it may very well be a third-round pick that's just not on our radar at all. That's very likely when it comes to defensive rookie of the year. But if I have to focus in the first round, and I do have to look at who's the most likely, who's considered the quote-unquote blue-chip prospects, Chase Young is that guy. So there's some that even say he's better than Nick Bosa, and considering Nick Bosa's rookie year, that's a big, bold prediction to make. So I got to give it to
Chase Young. I don't know. I don't see Washington winning more than 5 games, so I don't know how Chase Young can win the award if his team only wins 5 games, but you know who's going to win more than 5 games? The Detroit Lions. And that is why Jeff Okuda will win Defensive Rookie of the Year, because I think that he could get 5 interceptions. You're in a division with starting quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, a man that came out and said, "If I die, I die." Kirk Cousins, and then that bad man Aaron Rodgers. So 5 interceptions, Aaron throws like 4 a year, maybe 1 could be Okuda. You're going to get the next 6 from Mitchell Trubisky first week, probably, honestly. They play week 1. We'll put that pick in later. I'll put 6 interceptions on Jeff Okuda for the first game. Jesus Christ. Mitchell Trubisky, starting quarterback.
6 picks is okay. Okay, we gotta put some bets on
that. I'm milking that. Yeah, I'm angry. I'm milking that. I'm angry. I don't know if he'll actually get 6. If I'm right about that, though.
Yeah.
I'm coming back here, and we're talking that talk.
Well, I do play a little bit of IDP fantasy football, and if he had 6 interceptions out of the cornerback position, that would be elite on top of elite production. Part of the problem is you mentioned his division. When you have Aaron Rodgers, who refuses to throw interceptions and would rather throw the ball away, you have Kirk Cousins, who I know we like to throw Kirk under the bus a lot, but to be honest, he does make smart decisions with the football. For the most part.
He doesn't have Stephon Diggs bailing him out anymore, baby. He's in Buffalo. Well, voted the best fan base, by the way, according to Fox.
Well, they're probably going to put the ball on the ground a lot this year with Gary Kubiak's offense, if I'm going to be frank. And even Mike Zimmer, too, if it's the head coach. And then Mitch Trubisky, if he throws more than 2 interceptions in game 1, bye. Nick Foles is just waiting on the sidelines there. But, I just like edge rushers. They have more of an opportunity to flash, and that's similar to what we'll say about this next award, Offensive Rookie of the Year. The edge always goes to quarterbacks and running backs. So it's either going to be someone along the lines of a Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a Jonathan Taylor, or a rookie who quarterback who has the opportunity to start week one, Joe Burrow. Hoop, I'm going to give this to you. Who do you think is going to be the offensive rookie of the year?
I see Joe Burrow, his rookie year, falling on his face, but not like for his whole career, just kind of how Peyton Manning had a bad first year. Mm-hmm. He'll get back up. He'll fall down. He'll get back up. The way those men were chasing after him at practice won't be Joe Burrow. He's not going to win more than five games. You know who's going to win definitely five games? The Kansas City Chiefs. And the new starting running back that's not going to have to split any carries with Damian Williams. So it has to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire, even though the Colts and the Titans will be splitting first place in their division. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will make more of an impact on his team than Jonathan Taylor.
I think I'm still going to go with the quarterback in this situation. I'm going to give it Joe Burrow. Yeah, I just think that if he has, as long as he doesn't have a negative touchdown to interception ratio, as long as he doesn't get injured throughout the year, if he could stay healthy all 16 games, and I know you mentioned the offensive line video that came out a few weeks ago, bear in mind that was a scramble drill, so I'm not going to completely roast the Bengals offensive line. I don't think it's great, but I don't think it's terrible. He does have the benefit, if you look at his wide receiving core, A.J. Green, they just drafted the kid out of Clemson as well, Joe Mixon, good check down running back. I think there is a lot of offensive pieces and a lot of weapons to like on that Cincinnati Bengals, surprisingly. And Zach Taylor, I'm not going to say he's a dynamic Sean McVay type coach, but he does come from the Sean McVay system. So it has the opportunity to put up numbers. If he puts up numbers, he's going to have the edge just being a quarterback alone. So I'm going to give him a slight edge over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Don't get me wrong, as a CEH fantasy owner and someone who drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire number two on this past Sunday, I believe in the guy. I think he's going to be fantastic. But if between a fantastic running back season and a fantastic quarterback season, the edge is always going to go quarterback. So I'm going to go with Joe Burrow even still.
How can you say he's going to have a fantastic season when he has to play the Browns twice a year, the Steelers twice a year, the Ravens twice a year? Those defenses are legit, baby. They're going to be coming after that rookie quarterback. And I don't know, it's going to be more than just a scrambling drill, that's for sure.
I believe it. I believe he's going to have plenty of challenges throughout the season. He's going to take some lumps early. But I don't believe that what we saw his last year at LSU was just a mirage. I think this guy is legit. And eventually he will find his footing, maybe midway of the season. But again, as long as he's over 20 touchdowns, 3,500 yards, up to 4,000, which is pretty standard in today's NFL, I think he'll have a shot at winning this award. Okay, well, let's talk about who puts these players in positions to win, who gives them opportunity, and who sets them up for success. Their coaches. Let's talk about who has the best opportunity to be NFL Coach of the Year. Now, last year was a bit of a weird decision, I felt. I felt Kyle Shanahan kind of got robbed because usually the winner of this award is a coach that was on a team that was under 500 and managed to will this team to a playoff berth or at least relevance. Coaches that have that opportunity. I believe someone like a Kevin Stefanski out there, first year with the Browns, has an opportunity to turn that team around and have a lot of success in his first year coaching that team. Someone like a Vic Fangio from the Denver Broncos, if the Broncos are competing this year, equally has an opportunity to win this award. Who is your favorite at this moment for Coach of the Year?
Bill Belichick. Next question.
Actually, I think that's more than any other year. And we started the show talking about how hard it is for a GOAT or a greatest of all time to win an award like this.
You can't bet against him.
Well, if he won this year, given what we know, Brady gone, first year in 20 years without the starting quarterback, given the abundance of players that opted out due to COVID reasons, this would be Bill Belichick's best year coaching in the NFL if he managed to have this team competitive to over 500.
Absolutely. 10 wins. 10 wins.
10 wins.
Write it down. 10 wins coming out of the Patriots. Let's see.
I have them currently as an 8-8 team in my standings. I may be wrong. I could be wrong. My first power rankings came out, and I have them 21. So there's plenty of opportunity to grow. And if they do, if they finish as a top 10 team, I completely could see Bill Belichick pulling down the 2020 Coach of the Year.
If you think Belichick being Coach of the Year is bold, ask me who Offensive Player of the Year is. Oh, that's going to get you. Move on. We'll move on.
Okay, yeah. Let's name an Offensive Player and Defensive Player of the Year. Who are you leaning for both of those before we get into MVP?
All right. For offense, carrying his team to a 14-2 record will be Tom Brady, Offensive Player of the Year, pulling off one of the greatest seasons of his career, and then the cliff will happen. But he's going to have something to carry on for TB12. He's going to motivate people and say, look what I did. I won Offensive Player of the Year in a new system. My first year there, I was great in New England. I'm going to be great here. I can do it anywhere. And everyone doubted me except Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians believed in me. And that's why you should believe in me, because I am the Offensive Player of the Year, Mr. Thomas Brady. He'll be showing up in Tampa Bay wearing Ugg boots, sweating his fucking feet off, but that's all right. That's all right.
Okay. This is one of the few awards in which I do think that a pass catcher has a legitimate opportunity to win this award and take it home with them. Oh. So there has been a shifting of the curve in the NFL over the last few years. Tight ends have started to get a little bit more respect. And maybe this is a biased pick. Maybe this is one that people wouldn't necessarily throw out there. But if this man finishes with over 100 receptions this year, stays healthy all 16 games, and increases his touchdown percentage, I'm going to go with the number 7th ranked player in this year's NFL Top 100, George Kittle. It's Kittle time. The people's tight end. If he has a year equivalent to what he did 2 years ago when he set the all-time tight end receiving mark, I think George Kittle has a legitimate opportunity in a year where he got paid to take home some hardware and get a little bit more respect to the tight end position. It's National Tight End Today on the Slump Buster podcast.
I'm speechless. You've done something that people have been wanting to do for the last 9 months of my show. I have nothing to say to that. I feel so happy. Like, I feel so happy for the people's champion. Let's do it. I'm changing my pick. George Kittle, offensive player. Let's put it in the – I'm going to do it on your show. So let's do some magic on your show, all right, baby? Let's George Kittle, offensive player of the year, baby. Boom! I'm 90% accurate with this thing, I promise you. All
right? 90% accurate. 90% of the time. It works all the time. Okay, well, then let's talk defensive player of the year. Now, again, I think the edge is always going to go to the pass rushers, the people that put the heat on the quarterback. In terms of the NFL hierarchy, the old adage goes, you pay the quarterback, you pay the guy who chases this quarterback, and then you pay the guy who locks down the quarterback's favorite target. When looking at that, I do see a few options. Could we see a bounce back season from Khalil Mack? Could we see Nick Bosa take another step, one of the best edge rushers in the league? Could we see his brother, his older brother, Joey, stay healthy all 16 games and compete for that award? I'm going to go with someone who, again, a bit of a dark horse pick, and this is not a Bronco pun, because I'm going to give it to Bradley Chubb. Yes. Yes, I'm Bradley Chubb.
Von Miller, and I was going to be I'm sorry. You're going to say Von Miller. I was going to be like, I hate to break it to you, man.
No, that would be, you know, I may be behind a couple days in editing, but I at least caught that headline. Von Miller is out, but his heir apparent in Denver, in the Mile High City, Bradley Chubb, coming off a year of ACL injury, will have a big bullet point to prove this year as he develops in his junior season, his third year in the NFL. He was a top 10 pick. I think this guy is going to finally show his potential and have a big splash season. Screw it. I'm going to go with someone that people aren't talking about. I'm going to say Bradley Chubb in a Vic Fangio defense that always develops star after star edge rushers and linebackers.
I hate to break it to you. I really do. You know who's going to win that award? Darius Leonard of the Indianapolis Colts. Why? Because that beast defense and adding our boy down to Indiana, probably one of the scariest defenses in the league right now. Darius Leonard is the leader of that defense. So many opportunities are going to be open up. He's going to just be getting so many sacks this season. I'm all in on the Indianapolis Colts. That was one of my hammer picks as well, that they're going to be tied with Tennessee Titans for the first place in their division. I'm all in on Darius Leonard, Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay, let's talk about the top award. The most coveted award in football that's not named the Lombardi Trophy. That's going to be the most valuable player in the league. Last year was, of course, won by Lamar Jackson. That ceiling, as far as statistics to win the MVP, keeps getting raised. You can argue it's the most valuable quarterback award. Well, guess what? Because, yes, quarterbacks are the most valuable position in sports, people. I hate to break it to you. If that's the first time you've heard it, you're going to hear it 1,000 more times in your life, because it's true. These are the captains. These are the play callers and the heartbeat of every single NFL team. That's why MVP is going to go to a quarterback this year, and I think it's going to be a familiar name. It's going to be Patrick Mahomes. Last year, Patrick Mahomes missed a couple games due to a knee injury. Some blamed it on him doing a quarterback sneak. Quarterbacks do quarterback sneaks all the time, people. Let it go. Patrick Mahomes, this man keeps elevating the bar. The Chiefs have the luxury that they are returning pretty much their entire starting offense. So continuity, and a year where continuity is more appreciated than at any other point in history, given the current situation in America and the world with the global pandemic. I think that add in the first round rookie running back that we were talking about just previously, add in another year under Andy Reid, growing, learning from his mistakes and getting better. This guy's just going to keep raising the bar. When people throw out the phrase generational talent, it's true. I don't think I've ever seen anyone quite like Patrick Mahomes. When I watch that guy on NFL Sundays, yes, it gives me hard memories. It gives me PTSD knowing what happened back in February. But I have an appreciation for the talent. And this guy is going to take home his second MVP trophy in 3 years.
You see, that hurt me. That Super Bowl loss hurt me probably just as much as it hurt you. But I'm gonna be a little bold, and I'm going to say it hurt me a little worse. Why? Because I predicted that week four that they were going to be in the Super Bowl. I said that they were going to be against the Patriots. It was going to be this big thing where Big Jimmy G sticks it to the man, Bill Belichick, but that didn't happen. They played the Chiefs. And so I'm still angry at the Chiefs, even though that's my dad's favorite team. I'm still mad. I'm still hurt. I was packing up the to-go. I was packing up the food in the to-go containers, and shit started happening, dude. I'm not going to cry. Even though real men cry, I'm not going to cry, okay?
We can reflect on it some other time. After the show, we'll have a good cry, but
I'm not letting Patrick Mahomes do it. I'm going to say our guy in our division. That hurts a little less because I feel like he deserves some more credit. Russell Wilson is my vote because he carries that Seahawks offense. And if I'm right, that Antonio Brown will be in that shit blue, then I don't know how that offense is going to not be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. Brown, Lockett, Metcalf, insane.
The biggest thing you can say that hurts Russ is just how consistent he is. It's a crime that the guy has never won an MVP vote. Not one. Not a single one.
Make who? I'm an NFL voter, okay? I'll be the one. I'll be that John Morant 99 out of 100, I'll be that motherfucking one.
Slump Buster Bob, one of my colleagues here, made it a point to say that that one voter had to be a Ben Simmons voter. Had to be a Ben Simmons voter. I agree with you. I would love to see Russell Wilson. As much as Russell Wilson pains me each and every time that the Niners do have to play him, I understand, and I, again, appreciation for the talent. The guy is dynamic. What's going to be a detriment to him, of course, is the type of offense that Pete Carroll wants to run. If they do at least change it up and allow Russ to air it out. As you mentioned, if they do get an Antonio Brown on that team as well, no more excuses. Exactly. He has the pieces. He has the horses to run with it. So I think that's a huge opportunity. And I don't think that's a crazy pick. Not by any means. I would say Russ is in my top five as far as players that could receive MVP votes this season. But guys, let's talk about the real MVPs, our sponsors. So as you can tell, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm wearing a Wolf Cola shirt, but I want to tell you about my new beverage of choice. That's going to be Caveman Coffee. Now, I would not have the energy to make it through this podcast if I didn't drink one of these prior to the show. And because of that, I'm going to recommend that you use our promo code SLUMP to save yourself some money and get a case of Caveman Coffee today. They have plenty of fall flavors, such as your favorites, the pumpkin spice. Yes, the pumpkin spice. It is available on cavemancoffee.com. So go ahead and check them out. And after you save some money on them, save some more money in your life. Go ahead and, again, use promo code SLUMP to save 20% off plus free shipping and handling at manscaped.com. Yes, Manscaped, the number one in men's grooming. We're talking about episode 69 here, guys. So if you want to have sexy time with the ladies tonight, if you want to bust that slump, I suggest manscaped.com. Come on. When you trim the bushes, the tree stands taller. So people, go ahead and get yourself the Lawnmower 3.0, the Perfect Package 2.0, and a ton of great products. And with all these savings, guys, with all of them, please check out our final sponsor. That's going to be Razorsport.com. If you want to beat Vegas, and we all want to beat Vegas because, come on, Vegas has been beating us for years. Razor is the perfect partner to put your money in. They know exactly who's going to win the games this Sunday. We're going to give our predictions, but Razor Sport knows. So check them out. That's Razor, R-A-Z-E-R, sport.com. We have a couple messages from them, and then we'll be right back with our NFL Week 1 predictions.
This is a message brought to you by the Foundation for a Perfect Package.
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Because the only thrill I want is the one up top.
Because being in a relationship is not an excuse to be lazy.
Because I like talking ball, not smelling like them.
Because deforestation is proven to prevent forest fires.
Manscaped is the only brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming.
Manscaped's Crop Preserver guarantees that you smell your best all day long.
Manscaped Boxer Briefs are the most comfortable underwear on the market.
Manscaped's advanced skincare technology makes nicks a thing of the past.
Manscaped is the number one in men's grooming. Subscribers get 2 free blade refills every 3 months. Get 20% off plus free shipping and handling with the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. That's the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. Get your Lawnmower 3.0 today.
We are the Slump Busters.
And we approve this message.
I'm LeBron James. No, I'm not. But I'm the king when it comes to sports betting. Bet Razor. Razorsport.com.
All right, guys. We are back. It is time to introduce you to NFL Week 1. I know it feels forever. I know 2020 has been the longest year of our lives, the longest decade of our lives, people would say. But we have finally persevered. We're at the finish line, people. And on Thursday night, the Houston Texans, the Kansas City Chiefs, will do battle on Thursday night in Arrowhead Stadium. There will be no fans, but there will be plenty of spectators in the couches across America. Now, Hoof, going into this matchup, who do you like between the Texans and the Chiefs?
Well, you know, Vegas is saying that it's a 9-point favorite for the Chiefs, and I'm going to have to agree with them. I got them winning 27-17. Over the Texans opening night, because I don't know how Deshaun Watson is going to figure out that new style offense with David Johnson there. Hopkins is at, you got who? Randall Cobb? Please. I watched Randall Cobb being a 100 miles north of me for years for the Packers. I'm not impressed. Okay. Chiefs are going to win 27-17 opening night. You can bet on it, Vegas.
Now, I'm not going to do what a lot of people do and say Bill O'Brien's idiot, so the Texans are automatically going to lose. Lest we forget, and with that said, they did give up 50 points over the next three quarters, but lest we forget, they had a 24-point lead over this Kansas City team last season in the playoffs, and had it not been just for an immaculate comeback, which we know Patrick Mahomes is one to do, we would have been talking about the greatest Thursday night football matchup in AFC championship history between the Texans and the Titans. I understand what you're saying. I expect the Super Bowl champions to win their opening night game, but I am going to not go with the Vegas odds. I think that this is going to be a much tighter matchup. I don't think you can really give anyone a full touchdown advantage in week one, just from a betting line standpoint, because we still have to see how this lack of crowd is going to affect these teams. That is going to be the biggest thing to witness and to spectate on as new fans or fans look at this game on Thursday night. How does crowd noise affect these betting lines? We know Vegas likes to give home teams a 3-point margin of victory going in whenever they do determine their bets. But can you really do that? For example, a team like the Seahawks, do we look at them and think of them with the same way without the 12s going crazy?
That's a very good point, Juju.
Arrowhead is far and away one of the more fan-centric stadiums in America. The Chiefs do lose a little bit of a boost not having their home crowd in attendance to see them go for the repeat championship. Again, I'm going to go with the Chiefs to win this game, but I would bet underneath that Vegas odds prediction.
All right.
The next matchup on our board is going to be the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. So the Vikings made some moves here in the recent weeks. They went out there and acquired a star pass rusher, very underrated, but Yannick Ngakoue. I think the Vikings put themselves, and for many people that know me and have seen me hate on Kirk Cousins over the last calendar year, would say, really, this is an odd take. But I believe the Vikings have an opportunity to be at that championship tier this year, given the amount of talent that they have acquired via the draft, via free agency, via trades, the talent they're returning. And Mike Zimmer is one of the better coaches in the league. Now, when I look at the Packers, I look at a team that I didn't buy into their 2019 season. I thought it was a bit of a facade based off scheduling and a little bit of luck. In fact, I have this team, according to my predictions, and Uv, you may hate me for this one, I have them going 6-10. I don't see them as the team that was 13-3 in the NFC Championship last year.
You're speaking about language. This is Drake lyrics. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I said they were going to finish third in their division right behind the Packers, the Detroit Lions, and they're going to be sitting right above the Chicago Bears. Go ahead and check out the last video of It's Hoof Tube. You'll find it there. But no, I'm with you 100%. You kind of got the Grinch to smile a little bit there.
I'm going with the Vikings to win this game, to win the opener and put themselves 1-0 on the season and establish a very long, tiring year for the Packers.
0% chance. 0% chance. The Green Bay Packers, I'll even go with the Vegas odds for this one too. It's +2.5 for the Green Bay Packers. That's a field goal. Mason Crosby. Really? Come on. I could see them sending Mason Crosby out. Aaron Rodgers pulling those strings fourth quarter. You know how he does it. He's a bad man. I'm not going to bet against them. They're my Super Bowl favorites. If they don't run into the 49ers in the playoffs, they're my Super Bowl favorites to outlast the Buccaneers, the Saints, the Seahawks, all those other teams, the Falcons, and so on. All right?
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a bad man. I think he's just going to be bad in 2020. That's my bold prediction from Juju Talk Sports. But we have another NFC North matchup to talk about. That is going to be less interesting, probably for the bottom of the heap. The Chicago Bears and previously mentioned Mitch Trubisky will be traveling into Motown to face the Detroit Lions. Now, Detroit, they were actually scrappy and competitive last year. They even gave a lot of their early season opponents a lot of trouble up until Matthew Stafford broke his back. Now,
like Kurt Angle, baby.
The favorite in this matchup actually is going to be the home team, the Detroit Lions, a 3-point Vegas line. Where are your leanings?
I got the Lions. I got the Lions shockingly. I've given the Lions so much crap over the years, but I'm going to give it to the Lions today. I think they're going to be very mediocre this season, better than they have been in the past. So I'll give it to over Mitchell Trubisky. Come on.
This may surprise you, but Mitch Trubisky, if there's one team he balls out against, it's the Detroit Lions. I expect that defense to have a bounce back season. I expect this team to be better. And surprisingly, from the training camp reports I read, Mitch Trubisky is not looking terrible. He's looking like a guy who has a chip on his shoulder following a fifth-year option. Now, I don't think he'll be Pro Bowl Mitch again, but I think he's going to be good enough to beat the Detroit Lions.
Don't bring up that Pro Bowl. Juju, don't do that. You know, you and I both know good and damn well that how many quarterbacks pulled out to get Mitchell Trubisky in that Pro Bowl. Me and my buddy Ryan have this debate all the time, and he goes, Mitchell Trubisky's a Pro Bowl quarterback. And I go, shut your dirty mouth. Okay, this is episode 69. Shut your dirty whore mouth. Right there. That's what I always say to him, okay? Just because he knows he's wrong. He's telling me crap just to get me fired up. You know Mitchell Trubisky is not a Pro Bowl quarterback. At heart. In spirit, he is. At heart, he is not.
You would think his agent would have pushed that harder in contract debates. Okay, well, we are split on that pick. The next one up is going to be the Colts versus the Jaguars. Now, immediately out the gate, if you've been paying attention, I picked the Jaguars to go 0-16 this season. Wah, wah. So, naturally, Colts by a lot. I think that Gardner Minshew is going to give them an opportunity to get some garbage time points. So if you're a fantasy owner, hey, go ahead and pick up the trash man, as I'm going to call him this season, Gardner Minshew, because he's going to be a big benefit to your roster. But this team is not going to be a benefit to anyone that enjoys watching football. So the Jaguars, they're going to be painstakingly in their week one matchup. Go Colts for the shoe.
Toy. Disrespect on that man. I agree with you, but disrespect on that man. You said it. You spoke out loud about it. That's some of those things you just kind of don't say out loud. You just keep to yourself.
Kind of like Odell's, like,
joke around about it. Oh, my. Let's move on to the next game. Jesus.
Yeah, not a lot to say here, guys. Sorry for it, but Duval, it's going to be a rough season. Okay, let's talk about sunnier things. The
Jacksonville Jaguars are going to get shit on more than Odell Beckham Jr., and that's a take for episode 69, baby.
Oh, God. Moving on.
Moving on. You can quote that.
Let's go to the team reigning from the home of the Vegas odds, the Las Vegas Raiders. They're going to be playing their first season as the newly titled Las Vegas team against the Carolina Panthers. The Vegas odds for this one currently have the Raiders as a road favorite. That's peculiar because I don't think the Raiders have done a lot to really improve that defense, or at least nothing that I really give too much credence to. So when I think about a playmaker like Christian McCaffrey going against a soft defense like the Raiders, I like the Panthers to keep pounding at home. What about you, Hoof?
I'll tell you what, man, this is John Gruden coming live on Slump Buster Podcast, man. Knock on wood if you're with me, man. I got my Las Vegas Raiders. We're not going to be home this week. We're going to be on the road in Carolina, man. So I don't see us winning. I got the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, a West Coast team going across to the East Coast. Doesn't have a great track record or history, specifically in week one of the NFL season. So not a great start for the new franchise in the NFL. Okay, well, let's talk about a New York-based matchup, though this one takes place a little bit north of the city. The New York Jets are going to be traveling up to Buffalo. The favorites in this matchup are going to be the Bills. They have a 6.5-point line going into it. I expect this to be the Bills' division. So naturally, I'm going to expect them to pull down the dub in week one. I imagine you're on the same line of thinking. You're not expecting the Jets to take flight this year.
Why are we talking about this? We all know the Buffalo Bills are going to stomp on the Jets. We're going to move on. Let's move on. I think Le'Veon Bell will have a bounce back year for fantasy because there's no way that the worst offensive line almost in stat history cannot improve this season. Like, even if Adam Gase is your coach, you have to improve that offensive line somehow. Le'Veon Bell will bounce back somewhat, but the Jets are going to get stomped on week one. You can count on that. My bet is definitely with the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Seahawks versus the Falcons. So this play is going to be taking place in Atlanta. It's one of the closer lines of the week as the Seahawks are a 2-point favorite on the road. So essentially, when you take into account the home advantage, essentially this is about a point difference that Vegas has these two teams. Now, I think the Falcons are going to be much improved this year. They found some late momentum last year. They started, you got to remember, they started the last season 1-7 and managed to finish the season with a 6-2 mark over the last 8 games, beating both the Niners and the Saints in back-to-back weeks. So the Falcons, they have the talent, they have the pieces. With the Seahawks.
Odell Beckham Jr. probably wanted to come to the 49ers after we played like shit that bad. Okay.
Okay, well, with the Seahawks, you obviously picked Russ to be your MVP. So naturally, I would assume that you're going to pick him to roll in his first game of the season.
At Atlanta.
Their defense isn't fantastic.
They got some guys. They got some guys down there now. I don't know.
They drafted A.J. Terrell, the cornerback, so that's going to help them a little bit. But obviously a rookie cornerback against a skilled veteran like Russell Wilson.
I have the Atlanta Falcons going 11-5 this season. I think that 3 out of the 4 teams in that division are going to go over 10 wins. So obviously, you know, the Carolina Panthers are going to get beat on most of the season, okay? I'm split on this. I really don't know what way I'm going to swing on it. Like I said, Russell Wilson could definitely be an MVP if AB comes, but they haven't even signed him. And then there's that 8-game suspension. They obviously don't have that weapon right now. I don't know if they're going to have Josh Gordon week one. So I'm going to go with Atlanta at home.
Rise up. Okay, Atlanta. I'm going to go with the Seahawks because I think that they're going to continue to be one of the better teams in the NFC. I think that a thing that's underrated when talking about the Falcons is the fact that Dan Quinn is still a sitting duck head coach. I know he managed to save his job towards the end of last year, but anytime you have a coach in that position, it definitely weighs heavy on this team. I don't think they've ever found a proper offensive replacement for Kyle Shanahan. And this year, I don't think it's going to be any different. Maybe Matt Ryan has a better season, but he's a long way removed from that 2016 form. So I do think that the Falcons will be better in terms of their play and their competitiveness, but I still have them finishing a 7-9 team and losing week one. The next matchup is another one that I imagine we're going to be in a quick agreement on. That is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Washington football team. This line is going to be a 6-point advantage for the road team, the Eagles. And I don't anticipate having to think too much about this one. I think the Eagles are far and away the better team. They are a little bit banged up at wide receiver at the moment. That may be one of those things where Carson Wentz is going to have to work whatever magic he had towards the end of last season to figure things out. Just nailed DeSean Jackson on 3 or 4 big bombs this week. But that's going to be how they're going to have to win this game.
Yeah, I see Miles Sanders having a big game week one. Even like he was banged up a little bit in training camp. But, no, I see them having a big game week one against Chase Young. Prove my point that Jeff Okuda will have a big game against the Bears while Chase Young gets shit on like Odell Beckham Jr. against the Eagles and Miles Sanders.
Okay. Well, naturally, when the Niners aren't playing, I watch a lot of Red Zone Channel. But this is a game that I actually could see myself choosing in the morning to just settle on. That's going to be the Miami Dolphins at the New England Patriots. Ooh, and if for anything else, it's the pure intrigue. Cam in New England, first big challenge that Belichick has had in years. How good is this Miami Dolphins team going to be? I know Ryan Fitzpatrick was named the starter. They are going to be 6.5-point underdogs going into Foxborough this week. If there was going to be an upset alert type pick, I think this is going to be one that you would put a bullet point on. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
Really?
Hey, you got to pick one upset. You got to be bold. Oof.
Brother to brother here, okay? Now, who was able to go into Foxborough last season? I know it's a different quarterback, but who was able to go into Foxborough and beat down the Patriots? I believe it was Lamar Jackson, right? It was Lamar Jackson, okay? Mm-hmm. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is starting this season. We don't know what Tua is going to be. If Tua showed up, maybe.
Hey, maybe. Don't underrate Ryan Fitzpatrick. He got them the Week 17 win that caused the Patriots to lose out on their first round bye and then get ran over by Derrick Henry in the wild card round.
It factor to beat Bill Belichick at home.
That beard is an it factor, my friend.
He said, I like footlongs. He comes out. Moving on to the next one.
Okay, so another matchup we are split on. Now, this team has obviously been taking a lot of shit this week, the Cleveland Browns, and they are going to be 8-point underdogs to the Baltimore Ravens at home. 8 points, that's an awfully big line for a team that I see being competitive throughout this season. I figure the Browns actually will have a year in which they show the amount of talent they have on that roster. So I can't see them getting blown out in quite this way. And when they have Myles Garrett on the field, they do a better job of containing Lamar than people would give them credit for. I think the Ravens will win, but 8 points, I think, is quite a discrepancy, and to be honest.
You know, I agree with you. 8 points is a lot, but Lamar Jackson with a chip on his shoulder and newly acquired Calais Campbell and Earl Thomas is gone, but Earl Thomas wasn't good for that scheme. Okay. I think I'm going to go with it. I think I'm going to go with Baltimore -8. Let's say they win 10. That's easy. Field goal and a touchdown right there. That's a game right there.
I feel as though offensively, Kevin Stefanski and what the Browns are going to try and do is keep Lamar off the field and utilize.
Odell's mind is off right now. Odell's being talked about off the field. His mind's not in the game. He's got to get in the game like Troy Bolton, baby.
That's why who's going to flash in this game is going to be someone more along the lines of an Austin Hooper, a Jarvis Landry over the middle. The Browns are going to keep it very simple this week. They're going to keep it very simple. They just paid Kareem Hunt. They have, of course, Nick Chubb on that roster. Kevin Stefanski will run it down your throat. This is going to be an ugly game in terms of offense, to be honest. Right. This is going to be one of the lowest scoring games of the week. Bet the under. The Chargers and the Bengals. Joe Burrow's debut. This is going to be at home in Cincinnati with the millions of adoring fans.
This is what I'm talking about, dude. This is why he's not going to do it. Right away, week one, okay? He has to play Joey Bosa. Got broke off. Got paid. Joey Bosa is going to say, I'm going to show this rookie quarterback. Welcome to the league, son. It happens. All right? He is going to knock Joe Burrow into week two. I don't even know who they play week two, but he's going to be so ready for week two that he'll be waiting on the sidelines at that stadium right after that hit. Then where'd everybody go? That's going to be Joe Burrow after that hit.
I agree that the Chargers are going to roll in this matchup. Again, it's going to be a very conservative style of offense. They're going to play with Tyrod Taylor, going to be the initial starting quarterback out there. And that defense It's stout. They have all the pieces to give a rookie in his first game a lot of problems. And that's why I'm going to just say this is going to be a bad game for Joe Burrow in week one. And if you're looking for a DST for fantasy purposes, Chargers defense, love them. Love them this week. So, yeah, Chargers are going to pick up the W.
Absolutely.
Now, game of the week potential right here, or at least it's going to be the most viewed game in the afternoon. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the New Orleans Saints in the Mercedes Superdome. 3.5-point favorites are going to be the Saints. Off the bat, without too much exaggeration, I'm just going to get to the point. I have the Saints winning in week one. Why? Even though New England, or I got to catch myself, even though Tampa has the wide assortment of weapons that they've acquired, Leonard Fournette, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, this is going to take time to develop. It's not going to be just out the gate amazing. And again, it's just teams that have been together, that have had that consistency, are going to be much better in September this year. When we get to November, when we get to December, it's going to be whoever has the most talented rosters. For the initial start, with all the eyeballs watching, I'm going to give the Saints the win.
You know, I penciled it on my board, the Saints to win, but you said you wanted an upset. So you know what? I know Mike Evans is at, possibly. He might be out for the game. And I know Leonard Fournette just showed up and he just started practicing. And Rob Gronkowski was winning the 24/7 title at WrestleMania. But I know one thing about the Saints that I'm guessing you probably don't remember. They don't win the season opener very often, it looks like. I'm pretty sure they lost the last two season openers.
Wait, didn't they? I could have swore, if maybe my memory is escaping me, didn't they beat the Houston Texans last year in their season opener? If I'm not mistaken, it was a game in which the Texans did score a late touchdown, but Breeze did them one better and scored the game winner.
I'm thinking of when the Buccaneers upset them. Jameis Winston upset Drew Brees. I'm pretty sure that was the following year then. Maybe it was 2 years ago then. But I just have this feeling that if you want an upset, I'm going to give you an upset. It's going to be Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into the New Orleans Superdome because why? Like you said, no fans. So, ding, ding, ding. Upset alert. Tom Brady will upset the New Orleans Saints week one. And when I was doing my predictions and stuff for like their overall records, I had the Saints winning, so maybe they'll split the series down the road. Drew Brees will return the favor that time. I don't know. They'll split the series. I don't know. I know that for sure.
The bright side is you're right either way, right? Okay.
That's why I'm 100%. I always give myself that back door. That's why I'm always right, you know?
Okay, well, this one, even though that game is going to be happening in the background, we're probably going to be more in tune to this one given our personal biases. The defending NFC champion, San Francisco 49ers, will be going head-to-head with the bottom feeders of the NFC West, the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I know everyone is picking the trendy Arizona Cardinals. Oh, my God, they picked up D-Hop. But don't be fooled, people. They still have a coach that never won at the college level, won't win at the pro level, and will be gone in a couple years. They have a dynamic quarterback in Kyler Murray. I won't take that away from them. But on the other side of that football is a horrible defense that will not be able to contain the 49ers in this game. The Niners are 7-point favorites in this one. And even though they had a couple of close matchups last year, or close on paper at least, sans a 88-yard Andy Isabella touchdown, I am going to give the Niners a big week one victory.
You know, if you watch Hoof Tube, you're going to find out that there's Nick Hoover and then there's Hoove. There's two parts of me. Nick Hoover's really nice, but Hoove is a narcissistic son of a bitch. And Hoove is here, baby. And Hoove is going to tell you that the 49ers are going to go 16-0. No, I don't know. I said that last year. They're not going to do that, but I do that. I say that on my show just to piss off every one of them.
So I'll be happy with 12-4.
So I can show up every week and tell them that the 49ers are going to stay undefeated. They're going to win that week. They're going to stay undefeated week one, baby. But I don't know. Going forward, I have them 13-3, but week one, you bet your ass, they will be undefeated.
Okay, so as much as I'm disappointed in this one, we have to watch on Sunday Night Football the Dallas Cowboys. They are going to be facing against the LA Rams in the new SoFi Stadium. Beautiful stadium. Been watching it for weeks on Hard Knocks, and I'm excited to see games in it. Unfortunately, this is a stadium that I actually am going to be definitely disappointed that there are going to be no fans in. This is one of the heartbreaking things about COVID-19. Going into the game, though, the Cowboys are a 3-point favorite against the Rams. That is definitely disrespectful for the Rams. I feel that the Cowboys, despite being the road team, are going to be favorites in their new stadium. And that's why I'm going to pick the Rams to trounce the Cowboys in week one.
You have the Rams winning.
Absolutely.
Oh, I got to disagree with you on that, man. I have Dak Prescott showing up and beating the absolute piss out of the Rams, all right? And then he's going to show up and he's going to walk past Jerry's office and he's going to go, "Hey, Jerry," he's going to go, "How you doing, man?" And he's going to say, "Oh, yeah, Jared Goff got broken off a few years back, a lot of money, you know. Just beat the shit out of him, you know. That'd be nice if I got paid, you know. But never mind, we'll see you next week, you know, moving on." You know, just kind of sticking the dagger in and turning the blade a little bit gangster style. That's what Dak's going to do after he beats down Jared Goff, saying, "Where's the next quarterback that got paid? I'm feasting."
And when my prediction comes true and Jared Goff outshines Dakota Prescott in week one.
Disrespect. That's twice.
I'm sorry. My heart isn't exactly breaking for the man that's still getting, quote unquote, paid $30+ million this year on a franchise tag. I think that's probably one of my biggest pet peeves in sports when people say, "Man, pay that man." The man's getting paid. He's getting paid.
Blame Zeke. He jumped the gun. It's his fault. Don't blame anyone else. Zeke.
But on the bright side, he has a fantastic vacation home in Cabo that him and the boys can go chill at each and every offseason when they're watching playoff games from their couch south of the border. Lock it in the board.
Disagreeing with you.
So as is tradition, we do have two Monday Night Football matchups, the first of which is going to be two blue chip organizations of the NFL, two staples. That is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants. Now, the Giants, obviously, in their recent year success, hasn't been quite up to par with their history. The Steelers going to have your comeback player of the year coming back off of his Tommy John surgery. So we'll see how Big Ben is looking in week one. They are going to be 5.5-point favorites in this one. Is this going to be the return of the steel curtain?
Easy bet. 5.5 for Pittsburgh? Are you kidding me? James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster, Ben Roethlisberger against Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley? Please. Easy bet. Pittsburgh by 10. Easy. 15. 14.
In the Giants' defense, I will say this. I actually grown appreciation for Daniel Jones watching his tape last year. I don't think that he was deserving of necessarily being the number 6 overall pick in the draft, but I do think that he's an NFL starting quarterback. The problem is he had a turnover problem last year. This is one of the league's best defenses. It's not ideal week one matchup, especially on Monday Night Football, where all eyes are going to be watching. So yeah, easy bet. Steelers are going to roll in week one.
Easy money. Next game.
Now, if fans can stay up long enough for this one, because I have started to grow. So starting off in Mountain Standard Time and then moving to Central Time in my adult life, I never really appreciated how hard it was for fans on the East Coast to stay up and watch games like this one. The Denver Broncos and the Tennessee Titans, the second game of Monday Night Football. Yeah, this one's going to go up until midnight. And if you're working a morning shift, whatever opportunity and appointment you have.
They understand.
It's a rough one.
Everyone understands my passion. They're like, yeah, well, you can come in a little late, man. We get it.
If your boss is cool with it and can understand, then more power to you to stay up and watch this one. Denver Broncos are a team that I expect to make big strides this year. Obviously, the disconcerting news of losing a team leader like Von Miller is going to weigh heavy on this team, and that may shift in favor of the Tennessee Titans. And I would normally give them the advantage also being in Mile High, but again, no fans in attendance. That is a huge disadvantage.
The Titans were in the AFC Championship, Juju.
They were, but I will say this. The Titans are more of a team that always flash later in the year. They always take a while to really find their footing. They came out big against the Cleveland Browns last year, but I think that was a little bit of, let's shut up the Cleveland Browns. Everyone's talking about them this offseason. How do you get hyped against a team like Denver? Denver's used to playing this game, week one, Monday Night Football. I'm going to go with Denver to hold strong, home field, altitude. Give it up to the Denver Broncos. Slight upset, only a 1.5-point line, according to Vegas.
The man that should be in a 49ers uniform, Jerry Jeudy, he could flash week one. Don't get me wrong. But you have Melvin Gordon. You have Philip Lindsay. You have Cortland Sutton. You have Jerry Jeudy. Drew Lock. When you look at Drew Lock's last five games, basically identical to Carson Wentz, okay? But that offensive line, both tackles, so questionable. One is at, and the other one's very questionable. There's going to be so many defenses that are going to be just targeting Drew Lock. He's not going to have time to get all those weapons. And I don't know how Gordon or Philip Lindsay, no matter how good they are going to get past any of those defensive lines. Defensive lines are evolving, baby. They're all trying to get to the 49ers level.
They are, and the Titans are a tough team. Obviously, they take after their old-school coach and Mike Vrabel. But here's the thing. When they signed Derrick Henry, when they signed Ryan Tannehill, they also lost some core pieces that made this team what they were when they were in the AFC Championship game. They similarly have lost a tackle in Conklin this past season. They lost in their secondary Logan Ryan.
I love Logan Ryan.
They did get Jadeveon Clowney, but here's the problem with Jadeveon Clowney. He only shows up to play two games a season. I think that the Titans will be good, but they're going to take a while to find their footing. I'm going to give the advantage to at least Denver, who has the advantage of being home for a primetime matchup.
I respect it.
Okay. Well, guys, that is going to do it for us. And now, Hoove, one of the questions we always ask our guests, our first timers, is going to be a simple one. What is your favorite all-time sports movie?
My favorite all-time sports movie. Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like I go with Space Jam. I grew up with Space Jam. Looney Tunes is a GOAT. And I can't wait for Space Jam 2 with LeBron James. And I just really hope that they keep the cartoons as classic as they did in the original. They're not going to do, like, new Looney Tunes and all animated and shit.
Is it obvious he's a 90s kid, folks? But, you know, no, it's agreed. I think Space Jam, when I think about my listings, we've heard a lot of people throw out names like
Benchwarmers is the close to.
I just Benchwarmers, that's a new one. That's a fresh one we haven't heard. I will always remember, my name is Carlos. I am 12.
I am 12.
Maria, what did you do to me?
Scratching your brain, yeah, because it's huge.
If you just took that scene alone with Carlos is a top five sports movie scene of all time. Like, I'm not lying, because it's memeable, it's applicable. If you watch real life MLB, you always see that joke when it comes to some of these little leaguers. There's always a 6'5" little leaguer that you're like, can I see that kid's birth certificate? This is really?
Absolutely.
It's like Andy Reid at that punt, pass, and kick competition.
Absolutely, brother.
All right. Well, obligatory plugs. Let the people know. Educate the people where they can find you, where to follow you, all that good stuff that you're working on.
All right. Make sure you guys check me out at It's HoofTube on YouTube. I got a sports podcast. We got a regular talk show coming very, very soon. Check me out on Instagram at HoofTube and Stacy from Pizza Hut. I like salad too. See you guys. Peace.
All right, guys. Well, from the Slump Busters, remember, use promo code SLUMP. Save 20% off on Caveman Coffee on manscaped.com. Check out our sponsor, razorsport.com, razorsport.com. Follow us on Instagram at Slump Buster Podcast, on Twitter at Slump Buster Pod, and all those fantastic podcasting platforms. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. Other than that, guys, we want you to do one more thing for us. That is stay safe, happy, and healthy, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.